Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. A telephone call gets you directly through to the radio studios and to our microphones so that we can discuss the issues with you. Let me remind you, as we discuss the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. If you ever talk with someone and you're debating or dialoguing or discussing an issue, and regardless of what you say, they say, well, I don't care what you say. I know what I believe. There are a lot of folks that make decisions based on what they believe, based on what they have experienced, rather than basing their decision on that issue, on the facts of the Word of God. God's Word is the final say-so, not what we think or say or do. So as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called having a biblical worldview. I've admonished students in the college and the seminary down through the years to have a biblical worldview. What does the Bible say? Doesn't matter what a particular doctrinal discussion says or some denominational dogma. It is a matter of what does the Word of God say. God's Word is the final say-so. God's Word is truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus told us what truth is. He said, thy word is truth. We're talking about the written, revealed, inspired Word of God. God's Word is truth. And so when we make decisions, have dialogue and discussion on issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue and the discussion today, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. This Sunday, First Conservative Baptist Church, we'll have the Sunday morning services at 10:45. The Sunday morning Bible study is at 9:30. And we'll be looking forward to having you join with us. We've met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. We'd love to have you seated in the congregation to worship with us, to allow the work of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to speak to our hearts through His Word. And so let me invite you to worship with us. We're located 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin, 1221 Old St. Augustine Road. We'd be delighted to have you to be with us. And another thought also, we're looking for a part-time pianist, Perhaps God's given you the gift, talents, and abilities to play musical instruments, especially the keyboard. I can't carry a tune on radio. But I'd love to see those that can sing and those that can play musical instruments, and especially a piano. Some call it tickling the ivories. We need someone part-time. That means simply Sunday morning and Sunday evening, about an hour Sunday morning, an hour Sunday night, occasionally on Wednesday night if you're available. But that can be determined based on your availability. Small stipend for the one that can do the carry out the task. We want somebody that loves the Lord. Someone that's saved. It's not just a matter of having the gift and the talent and ability, but that you're passionate about serving the Lord, and you want to find a place to, even if it's part-time, to utilize the talent and the gift that God's given you. We look forward to hearing from you if you have that gift and talent. If you're available, if you'd like to talk with us about the potentiality of it, you can dial 262-7777. That's the church's telephone number, 262-7777. If someone is not available at the time, leave your information that someone can get back with you, and we can discuss that. Looking forward to it, I believe someone in our listening audience is the very person that God would have for us. And so I pray that you would respond as the Holy Spirit of God prompts your heart to do so. One other thing before we do our monologue and discussion, God and Country Day. We have that celebration for Independence Day each year. We try to time it where it is the closest Sunday to July the 4th. This year it will be on Sunday, July the 7th. Sunday, July the 7th. Mark your calendar. Don't do anything else. Mark your calendar and be with us on that day. The program for the services for that day starts at 10 o'clock. We'll go until about 12 or 12:30. It'll conclude the services with having ceremonial groundbreaking for our Shepherd's Care Senior Living Community. We're developing an entire senior living community, 104 beds, about 88 units, where we can have an opportunity to minister to the seniors in our city. We're looking forward to that. We'll have barbecue lunch. There'll be gospel singing with the Groves Family Singers in concert. We'll have the reenactment of the Patrick Henry speech, the famous speech that most everyone knows of the final statements, give me liberty or give me death. And so I encourage you to put it on your calendar, July the 7th, God and Country Day, First Conservative Baptist Church. Services starts at 10 o'clock. Let me remind you again that telephone number to call to join in the dialogue and discussion today is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, you know Sunday is Father's Day. But the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Who is a father? What is a father? Who is a spiritual father? What is a spiritual father? Many times we think of fatherhood as just being able to produce a child, and that's not fatherhood biblically. We want to talk about that today. We have with us Dr. Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a Bible college in our university, teaches Bible and theology. In a moment, we're going to be having that dialogue and discussion with Dr. Phelps. You might be postulating your question, your thoughts at this moment. Perhaps you have some thoughts that you'd like to air publicly in praiseworthiness of your father, something that you'd like to say about how Dad impacted your life, what he's meant to you, and what he has meant to your family. But ladies and gentlemen, Sunday is Father's Day, and it's been Father's Day since 1910, almost 100 years. We're celebrating almost the 100th anniversary of Father's Day. Father's Day is an opportunity for us to recognize dads, to recognize we do that for mothers, and we also do that since 1910 in recognition of dads, recognition of fathers. We celebrate this year, as I said, almost the 100th anniversary. In fact, our earthly fathers, the Bible is very, very clear. In Exodus 20:12, some of you know this, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Some time ago, just in a pun fashion, when I was sharing that text with someone, it was a teenager that I was counseling and going awry. He was rebellious to the parents and giving them major, major problems. And I read that text to him, and he said, what does that mean? I said, it says, honor, that show respect for your father and your mother, that your days might be long upon the land. And I said, in kind of a half-joking fashion, then I got to the seriousness with him, I said, that means honor them that they won't beat you to death. And I said, I'm not serious about that, but the whole point is we need to honor fathers and mothers, and especially as we think about Father's Day. That's restated, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in Deuteronomy 5:16. We read the same biblical admonition where it says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. It's not an option that we honor mom and dad. It's a command. It's an imperative. It is a directive in the scripture that we do so. But ladies and gentlemen, we are privileged to celebrate Father's Day in recognizing what fathers have done for us, and especially in the prism, looking at it from the prism, the light of what does the Bible say about fathers? What is a father's responsibility? What are dads to do? Scripture says in Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It goes back to the Exodus 20:12, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long in the earth. Verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Dr. Phelps, as we look at the scripture, and it's numerous, it is just a tremendous study, as we study about fathers and mothers, and especially as we're talking about fathers today, a dad's responsibility. And the dad's responsibility for looking over the home, taking care of the family, meeting the needs, developing the children. But what are some of the key things that you think would be necessary for our listening audience to understand today as we talk about Father's Day? Would you take a minute in this broadcast, Dr. Phelps, and just speak to our listening audience about biblical fathers and what the scripture says is the father's responsibility? What is he to do? How is he to respond? How is he to respond to his wife, to the mother, and to the children? What are the children to do? Just give us, share with us a brief overview of the whole gamut of what biblical fathers are about and what the scripture says.
In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the scriptures gives us an imperative, that is a command. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I believe that it's a privilege for fathers to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. An ungodly politician once stated that it takes a village to raise a child. However, the Bible teaches that it takes a family to raise a child. Mm-hmm. And the biblical family is made up of a father, and that's a man, and mother, that's a woman, and the children, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2.
Not two mommies and two daddies, is it?
No, sir. So we have the instruction to fathers that's given here. And I'd like to say that we have a good example of that from the book of Luke, chapter 2. And when we read in the book of Luke, we read about a godly father, Joseph, and his wife, Mary, and their child. And Joseph, we find, brought his wife and the child Jesus to the house of God for dedication in Luke chapter 2. Verse 21 and following. And I'll read those. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, that is, brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And that was in accordance with the Old Testament commands concerning the birth of a child. I read in verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So we believe the Bible teaches us that Joseph was a godly father. And there are some things that godly fathers can do according to God's command here. First of those is to bring up children in church. See, Joseph brought his wife and the child Jesus to the house of God. Now, in Old Testament times, we find that's where people would worship and serve the Lord. Joseph and Mary lived during the time when the people of God worshiped and served the Lord at a place in Jerusalem called the Temple. To them, it was the house of God. And the household of Israel could fellowship with God there. The Temple was destroyed, as we know, in AD 70 by the Roman soldiers, as Jesus had predicted in Matthew 24, 1 and 2. Now, the visible ruins of the temple, the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, remind us that the presence of the Lord was once there. So Joseph brought Jesus and his wife to the temple, the house of God, for his dedication. The child Jesus was brought up by an obedient father. Now, in the New Testament times, we find that things are somewhat different. Today, believing Christians assemble for worship and fellowship at a new place in the neighborhood. The local church is our place to be involved in regular fellowship around the Word of God. 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In the administration of the gospel of Christ, God entrusts the responsibility to faithful men, faithful fathers, and they're called in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, stewards. And it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we've learned that we are workers together with God. We are responsible then as workers in the ministry of the gospel. Therefore, the local church is designated as the place where the biblical family will assemble to worship and fellowship and serve the Lord. Fathers are to be the spiritual leaders of the family and assemble on the Lord's day at the Lord's house with the Lord's people to hear God's word and to be involved in the ministry of the gospel. Fathers, bring up children in church, for it's the will of God. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Fathers, will you purpose to do the will of God? Bring up children in the house of God. And so that's the command that's given here in Ephesians and chapter 6.
So when we find Dr. Phelps throughout the scripture, it points to the father, the dad, as being the head, the leader in the home. Dad's responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a father, if you're a dad, your responsibility under the leadership of the Holy Spirit is to train up that son and that daughter in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train them to love the Lord, to study the Word, and lead them to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I can think back, Dr. Phelps, with our four sons. All four of our boys had come to faith in Christ by the time they were 5, 6, 7 years of age. And it's because they were brought up in church all of their lives. In fact, on one occasion, my wife said of our boys, each of them were in church 9 months before they were born. And it needs to be, fathers, where you recognize the responsibility. In fact, children are also to obey the parents. I find it fascinating, Dr. Phelps, in Proverbs 23, verse 22, where it says, hearken. That means to listen. Listen, hearken to thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. It's amazing in society today, Dr. Phelps, with so many kids that are brought up. They're not brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They're not brought up in the church. And therefore, they despise mom and despise dad, rebel against them, and refuse to be obedient to their leadership. Even when a son or daughter is up in age, out of the home, married, and with their own family, they're to still honor mother and father. And what would you say to our listeners today? Perhaps there's a family that's listening, and dad has died, or there's been a divorce, and dad's not in the home. And perhaps that mother that's trying to raise those sons and daughters by herself, she says, but I don't have a father in the home. There's not a dad. What is that person to do? How are they to respond, especially recognizing Father's Day as we do, and as we're talking about Father's Day today? I'm sure there are a lot of families that are broken. There are a lot of families that are hurting. And when you think about Father's Day, they think, well, I'm alone and I'm forlorn. But what about our Heavenly Father being that Father? What would you say to that family in that regard?
I would say this, that we have a wonderful Heavenly Father who cares for us. According to Matthew chapter 6, God knows our every need.
Yes.
And we can commit our need to Him. Just talk to the Lord and tell Him, just as you would tell a friend. God is over the family of God. We have a Heavenly Father who cares. But fathers especially are to bring the family and bring the children to church, yeah, rather than send them. And let the fellowship of the believers in a local church become the training place for your family. Fathers are to bring children up to call upon the Lord. Joseph brought his wife and Jesus to the place, the Bible says, the house of prayer. Simon, another character in Luke chapter 2, and Anna were godly examples of those who called upon the Lord. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 28 that there was a man called Simeon who was there. And when Joseph brought the child Jesus to the temple, this man took him up, this little baby, this infant, in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And this was a man of prayer. Another person was Anna. In Luke 2:36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with an husband 70 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him, of Jesus, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There are godly people in the house of God that will help you to train your children and help them by being examples of those who call upon the Lord. Teach children to pray and to claim the precious promises of God. Matthew 21:22 is one of the promises. It says, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So it should bring children up in church. Teach them to call upon the Lord. And bring children up to receive Christ as Savior. Dr. Youngblood, one of the precious memories that I have of bringing up my children is that when they became of the age of about 5 or 6 or 7, they would always pull up my shirt sleeve or tug at my clothing and want me to sit down on the couch and tell them the gospel so that they can be saved.
Amen.
I'm so glad for that.
That the primary responsibility of that, Dr. Phelps, is our listeners perhaps have already gathered in this broadcast today. The primary responsibility of that is from the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're having dialogue and discussion today with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a Bible professor and theology professor in Conservative Theological University. We're talking about who is the Father. What does the Bible say about biblical fathers? Dr. Phelps, talk with us today a little further about what is the responsibility of the father in bringing up the children? What is the father to do in training the child? What is his responsibility? There are commands given in the Scripture. What are some of those commands given to the father in relationship to training our sons and our daughters, and how do we deal with that in the real life day by day? Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to jump in the last few minutes of this broadcast, ask a question, give your praise report about your father, and something you'd like the world to know about your admiration and respect for your dad. Dr. Phelps, share with us further about bringing up children and the father's responsibility.
In the book of Proverbs 22, verse 6, the Bible tells us, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So what is the way a child should go? The answer to that is in the way of life. There are two ways, the way of life, and there's the way of death. Proverbs 14:12 is a passage that my mother quoted to me in the kitchen when I was just a young teenager, because she saw my wayward life, and she was concerned about me. My mother was the best Christian I ever knew at that time. And I'm so thankful. She said the words of Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I'll never forget. That finger was moving and pointing toward me.
Pointing to you.
And it brought real conviction. I was later saved after hearing the gospel. And I'm so glad for a godly lifestyle on the part of my dear mother. But Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 talks about the way of death. Now, another passage in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 24 talks about the way of life. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. And in the Word of God, we're told that there are two ways. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 talks about those two ways. The way to destruction and the way to life. Matthew 7, verse 13, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so we believe that we're told that fathers are to bring their children up in the right way. And that's the way that the children should go, and the father should walk that way himself. The words that we find in Ephesians chapter 6 are commands to bring up children in Christian character. One of those ways is to trust in the Lord, as I've just been speaking. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 especially, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And that leads me to the next thing. Fathers are to bring up their children in the fear of the Lord. That means a reverence for God. In the Old Testament, you find that they talked about the fear of the Lord. That means having a reverence for God.
Yes.
Psalm 119, verse 9, we were told to reverence the Lord. And in the New Testament, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to become Paul, the preacher of the gospel, we find the scriptures tell us that the people called Christians then could walk in the fear of the Lord. It's a New Testament teaching as well. I read in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Samuel, a great man of God in the Old Testament, spoke to the people, and he says, only fear the Lord and serve him with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you.
Yes.
So fathers, teach your children also to be thankful. Ephesians 5:20 tells us, in everything we should be giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 100, verse 4, talks about being thankful unto him. Fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does it mean, fathers? Provoke not your children. It means fathers sometimes provoke their children and discourage them by saying one thing and doing another. And it's certainly true many times that parents are not consistent. You see, children know when fathers are only pretending.
Yes.
And so let's just not just be acting religious, but let's be the real thing. Don't fake it. Be real. Sometimes we make promises and we don't keep them. Sometimes we as adults make light of problems that to the children are very important. And also, parents need the help of the Spirit of God to help us to do what's right. So we need to train up children in the way that they should go and walk that way ourselves.
Yes. In fact, Dr. Phelps, you mentioned that again. It's the Proverbs 22:6 text, train up a child in the way he should go. That I'm fascinated with that verse, train up a child in the way, the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go, not that he wants to go, but that he should go. And that's the father's responsibility in the home. Dr. Phelps, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Let's kind of summarize some of the things that we've said in relationship to fathers. We're talking about fathers, the need to be a father. The Apostle Paul, as a spiritual father to Timothy, he said, mimic me, follow me, do as I do. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe based on the authority of the Word of God that a Christian father ought to be able to live his life, walk his life, witness in his life before his sons and daughters, that he can say to them, do as I do, follow in my footsteps, mimic me, allow me to be your example. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the Scripture, especially when you look at Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21, the Bible gives us, Dr. Phelps, I find it fascinating that in the Colossians text, in the third chapter, it gives us some good principles for fathers, for mothers, and for the children. Speak to that, where it talks about wives being submissive and the father, children being obedient, and so forth.
We believe that Scriptures teach us that we should set a good example before the students, before the children, before the public, before our society, before our friends and neighbors.
Yes.
We should bring them up then by being a good example to the children, so that they too may know the way to the Lord.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.